People ask me all the time, if you could put infertility into a feeling or a word, what would it be? And I would say grief. Grief is the word. Grief is the feeling. I think everything in infertility is attached to grief. Everything. Jealousy is attached to grief. Pain attached to grief. Loss. Dreams. All that is attached to it. Is to that word. Infertility is grief. And it's not just grieving obvious things. A child, obviously. A miscarriage. A loss. You know, that you have to do this to grow your family. All that is maybe more on the outside. It would be more obvious. Like, oh yeah, right. You had a miscarriage. Grief. But I think it is so much more than that. It is so much more than just grieving. Yes, grieving, all that is important too, of course. But it is so many more things. It is your future. It is yourself. Joy. Grieving the person you used to be before infertility. Not watching your parents become grandparents. Your partner become a parent. Those are all there too. It's like if it would just be one of those things, it would be hard. If it was just one of those things, it would be hard. But it's all these other things. Your marriage, your personality, time, your friends, your relationships, your friends having kids, and you grieving the fact that you won't have kids the same age, or cousins will not be the same age. And I think that is why infertility can be so overwhelming. It's the overwhelming sense of grief.
When it comes to grief, can you give us another word? When you say grief, do you mean loss? I'm trying to wrap my mind around grief. And I know when you say I'm grieving something, I'm sad about something, I'm processing something. I'm trying to just think of what would be the best way to kind of put that into maybe different words. You're sad about the loss of something? Is that how would you say that?
I would say it's bigger than sad. It's profoundly sad.
Yeah.
It's profoundly a sense of loss and out of control and ungrounded.
Yeah.
And like deeply, who am I?
Like deeply affected by the loss of something?
Yes.
Okay.
I would say someone in our process group said one time, I am not sad. I am profoundly sad. And I think I put my hand over my heart of like, yes, I feel that. I get that. Like, and I've never felt that any other time before in my life or since. Besides infertility, is just profoundly sad. It's almost like there's not a right word.
Yeah, that's. I think grief is the right word.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes we throw it around, oh, I'm just grieving that. I'm just grieving that we couldn't go.
Yeah.
And I know it's you're deeply affected by the loss of something. And I feel like, if I'm being honest, I think to me, grief is most often attached to the loss of life, right? You lose someone you love and you're grieving that person. Are you like, so infertility, we say grief all the time. I think there's a lot of things that people might look and say, oh, you're grieving that. You're grieving that. I thought grief was only the loss when you're, you know, processing the loss of a person, maybe a loved one, but you're saying grief is, and I'm saying too, but grief is all over the place in infertility.
It's all over the place. And honestly, I think, and this is really sad, but I think that as a culture, when you haven't experienced infertility, you could wrap your mind around a miscarriage more than why someone is struggling, like didn't get any embryos after an IVF cycle. Right. Like, I just don't think people can understand why that is grief.
Do you think that's a technical understanding problem, or do they not think that the loss of embryos, not getting any embryos, you know, having your cycle come after a month of trying, do they just feel like that's not worthy of grief?
Yes. Yes. I literally had a lady came up to me.
Do you think it's not, they think, not to be weird, but like you think they think that it's not worthy of grief?
Yes. Or literally genuinely understand.
They don't understand.
They don't understand.
If you had and to not guess how often do you feel like it's more that they don't understand or more that they don't think it's worthy of grief?
I think the not understanding would boil down to worthiness, if that's what you're saying.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I think that the not understanding, I had a lady come up to me at a conference one time and said, why are people that do IVF so stressed? Mm. And
you headbutted her, yeah. Right?
I almost did. This poor woman had no idea how much that just, comment just
you
bothered
headbutted me.
Yes, you headbutted me. It's like, next. I think something happened to me that day where I went, oh,
yeah.
You don't even understand why that could be stressful or someone yeah. could be sad or how long they've been trying probably to get to the place of IVF, typically.
I could see if you were completely ignorant of the world, you would think, oh, IVF is a treatment where you get to have a baby.
It's exciting. It's exciting. Everyone's favorite word in infertility. Aren't you so excited? Isn't IVF so exciting? It's like, no, I'm literally worried about how this is going to come out every single second of every single day. And I'm trying to control myself and just breathe and not have my anxiety completely take over every part of my body. That's what it really is. I also think it can happen in the infertility community. I think that it can happen where we think, oh, this person's has more grief or more sadness than me. That
or their story is more worthy of grief, maybe.
Yes. Or like almost second guessing yourself to be like, why am I so sad? And then you hear someone else's story. It's like, oh, they're worthy because they had 3 miscarriages and they've been doing it for 7 years and all this kind of stuff. It's like, well, they're worthy of it being sad and being grieving. But why am I?
Yeah.
And then it's like, you hear someone's story and you're like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and it's a lot of people that don't do treatment. Don't do treatment. Maybe did one IUI or maybe something like that.
They don't feel like they're worthy of
yes,
grief.
Yes, and they're worthy of being sad, but they are sad. They are sad and they feel the sadness, but they push it down because they probably think they shouldn't be or they haven't been through enough.
I have a question for you, and it is attached to maybe my thought when grief comes up for me and something that maybe I've struggled with in this world of people struggling with infertility, us struggling with infertility. I think about this from like a very 30,000 foot view, if that makes sense. That
really? You?
That is my go-to.
So shocked.
No, but
you know that I knew that was exactly what you were going to say.
Really?
I'm sure people on this podcast are listening and being like, yep, Doug's going to go from a 1,000 point view.
I just think about this from the 30,000 foot view. There's also about saying like, my head is always in the clouds. That's probably the other way to say
it. Yes.
But no, I actually do. And I would love your input or thought on this is I feel like struggling to get pregnant is absolutely worthy of grief.
Yes.
It's got to be one of the saddest losses in human history,
like if
right?
you boil it down,
struggling to get pregnant or lose, like just that, whatever it is, wanting to get pregnant and not being able to get pregnant.
Yeah.
You know, wanting to have a baby and not being able to have a baby, whatever way that looks like, it's literally an ancient problem. I mean, in every ancient religious text, they deal with the person who's struggling, who wants to get pregnant and can't get pregnant. And there's so much of that all over the place. So to me, when I think about it from that viewpoint, I'm like, oh, struggling to get pregnant is one of the main griefs in our life. You know, and I'm not trying, it would be ridiculous to try to rank all of the griefs. I'm not saying that, but out of all of the ones you could think of, it's a huge one. So yes, I agree with that. And then when I get into the nitty gritty of it, that's when I start to not feel as valid to be grieving, if that makes sense. Say we've been trying for 16 months, you know? Yeah. I mean, it's like clearly we're doing like some medicated cycles and we've seen fertility doctors, like we're in it, right? And I feel from, again, the big story, we're struggling to get pregnant. We want to get pregnant. We can't. That's grief. The nitty gritty though of on our 18th month, we kind of thought we were pregnant because, mm-hmm. you know, your cycle was late or something like that. And then we took the pregnancy test and turns out we weren't. I undersell myself and say that I shouldn't be grieving that because it's just, you know, it's just another month, you know, it's just a negative test. Like it's not that big of a, like you don't have to grieve that whole thing.
Would you say you don't grieve in the details?
Well, that's probably it. Like, I think I have, what's that like cognitive kind of dissonance of, yes, I agree.
So plagued.
So just plagued. Yes. Yes. I agree that infertility is grief, But then I can always tell some story about how my specific situation that I'm going through isn't worthy of grief.
Hmm.
Why do I do that? Help me, Jesse.
How far do you want to go back?
No, but I mean, does that, do you ever feel like that? Because I feel, I maybe I'm alone in that, but maybe that's a common thing. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think it is. I think it is.
We want to write ourselves off. Yeah.
Yes, we want to write ourselves off because as a human being, we don't want to feel pain. Mm. We don't want to feel pain. It's not fun. Nobody wakes up in the morning and goes, you know what I feel like doing today? Pain.
Right.
And grief. Nobody wants to do that.
Yeah. Maybe it's because if I were to admit that that is part of the grief of struggling to get pregnant and fully worthy of processing and dealing with, that means I would have to enter into grief, which is such a huge pain to enter into.
You don't want to feel pain.
Yeah.
You don't want to feel pain. And I think that you are such a dreamer and you are head in the clouds and you're 10,000 times above that you can, you probably could see the big picture and go, well, we'll eventually end up with kids. I don't know how this is going to go, but it'll eventually work. We'll end up getting pregnant someday. I think you felt that a lot in infertility. So it's like, don't waste your time on these little griefs.
Yeah.
Like, let's just go, like, it'll all work out. It'll all work out in the end. And I think what happened was, is it built? Because those little things are important. And it's like, it built, and it built, and it built. And I feel like once we got to the end of our infertility journey, for you, I feel like that's when it all came out.
This makes so much sense. I think that I sell myself short and don't want to live into that grief because then it will attach to the bigger grief, which means that I will have to then totally go into all of the pain of all of that.
Yeah. What would you think the healthiest version of your grief has been? And the unhealthiest?
I think when
let's do both.
I would say the healthiest version and what I need to do and what I strive to do, like what maybe.
And you're talking to the person that has a hard time grieving, not in the details. Maybe don't think that all of this is like worthy enough. Or
has a hard time, you know, accepting that what they're going through is grief and allowing themselves to grieve.
Yeah.
You know, to grieve. You know, I think of Shakespeare.
That is just, I pretty much know you so well now that I can guess what you're going to say. Didn't see that.
One thing that has helped me is I repeat this Shakespeare line to myself over and over and over and over. Do you want to know what it
is? If Shakespeare is your grief person, then Guy Fieri is my grief person. He makes a really good sandwich and I'm like, dang, I wish I could eat that. And then I start.
There are some Shakespeare nerds out there who are pumped that I'm saying Shakespeare right now.
Okay.
Just want you to know that. Shakespeare has a quote that says, "Give sorrow words. The grief that does not speak whispers the o'erfraught heart and bids it break." I mean, come on.
Can you put that in layman's terms a little bit? What was that last couple sentences?
The grief, this is what I say to myself. The grief that does not speak whispers the o'erfraught heart and bids it break. And I feel like that is totally true. I do not let my grief speak, and then it just whispers to my sad little heart, and it bids it break. You know what I mean? And I think that's the problem that I have is, yes, I'm willing to accept that grief, this is a grief, but this thing over here that I feel like is part of it, and then maybe not big enough, I don't give it words. I don't give that sorrow words. And then it just sits there and whispers to my heart and just breaks my spirit over time, you know? And I think that's the healthy version that I'm trying to lean into. The unhealthy version is just marching forward.
Yeah.
Like grief, sorrow has words to share. And I'm like, you shut up. And I just like,
shut your mouth.
Yeah. Just like, shut up and just like throw it down the stairs and just like, oh, I'll deal with you later. You know?
Right.
So that's what I feel like. I guess that's where I'm stuck. This is not an area where I feel like I'm proficient in.
What did you say before we start this? You're going to own most of this, right?
I mean, I just don't feel like it's a hard thing for me to willingly enter into grief, you know? And it really is that Shakespeare quote. Like, I say it to myself often, give sorrow words, give sorrow words.
Yeah.
Like the grief that does not speak whispers the orphaned heart and bids it break.
Yeah. And do you think that it's also a little subconscious? It's not, or do you think it's conscious? Like, are you consciously going, ooh, that was a bad moment. Probably should grieve that. Bye. Or is it like,
you know, I want to say it's subconscious, but I don't know how sub it is on my conscious.
So level. It is almost a choice. It's a choice to be like, ooh, that was probably something that was hard for me, but I'm just going to not think about it. I'm going to put it to the back.
Yeah. I mean, everyone's different. I don't want to speak for everyone. I can only speak for myself, but it does feel like I convince myself that that grief, that thing isn't worth words. Honestly, like give sorrow words. Like I'm like, ah, it's not worth the words. You know what I mean?
Hmm. So sad.
But from again, the 30,000 foot view, I'm like, yes, infertility is grief.
Yeah.
And it should be given words.
Right.
But then in the middle of it, you know, something tragic happens and I'm like, oh, okay, whoa, just move, go. You know, just keep going. You know, it's all right. Just keep going.
Yeah.
But I need to slow down and give those sorrows words. Jesse, if I'm on this side of it, you know, whispering to myself Shakespeare to try to get myself to feel, I almost want to say that you're on the opposite side.
I am on the opposite side. I am, whatever that is, I'm on the other side of the football field.
Shakespeare's like, give sorrow words. You're like, check.
Yeah, done. Bleeding it out every moment of my day.
What is that experience?
I have a hard time turning it off.
Okay.
If I am to say a healthy version of myself would be to feel it, but I think where I got maybe a little unhealthy was I started to pre-grieve things. Mm. So I started to be like...
What do you mean pre-grieve?
Pre-grieve.
I'm so sorry. This is probably a serious podcast and this is an emotional topic, but I only think of pre-crime when you say pre-grieve.
From, oh my gosh, what's that movie? Minority Report.
Minority Report. Yeah. That's a deep cut.
Yeah, that is
There's
a deep
nobody
cut.
Who knows what
There's gotta pre-crime be somebody. Is. There's gotta be somebody.
Okay, so...
But yes, exactly.
Like pre-crime...
Like you pre-grieve.
You're seeing the future?
I catastrophic it. I'm like, we're never going to end up having kids.
Oh, so you're kind of, you're telling yourself the future.
And my fear came true. But what I'm saying is there is some people like me who it's just oozing. It's just a part of them. It's just with them. It's like a friend that you don't want that you're just like, ugh, can you like go away? But I can tap into it really easily and I can feel it really easily and I know what I feel and I feel like my feelings are valid most of the time. Most of the time. I also have guilt and shame, so that's like holds hands every once in a while. Like guilty that I like grieved that so much almost. It's so trauma is just fun. But I would pre-grieve and I've seen this with other people is they're kind of like me and it does end up working out. Or they do end up being pregnant. Or in our case, we ended up having, which I realize is completely different than having your own biological children. And we've talked about that a lot in this podcast. But like, I almost had a hard time turning it on. Almost when our son came into our lives. Like, I am almost
through,
like...
Through adoption, by the way.
Through adoption, yeah,
if you didn't know.
Through adoption. We never were able to have biological children ourselves. But I think I like almost... pre-grieved that it was almost hard for me to turn it on or even the opposite, feel worthy to have this happen to me. So because I had almost gone.
Can I stop because I have a question?
Yeah.
You're pre-grieving that we're never going to have kids? Is that
yes.
what you're saying? Okay.
Never going to have a family.
Okay.
My life, what is the meaning of my life? My
so
life has no meaning.
Really grieving reality. You're grieving
yes.
the assumed reality.
Yes. Not all the time. There was times where I felt like, and I can talk about that in a minute, of the healthiest version of myself with this. Because I don't think you should just not think about what's happening in your future.
Yeah.
Or not, I don't think all pre-grieving is bad. I don't think that's all bad. I just went I swung so far over of like details.
So you're not grieving like, oh, we might not be able to have kids. You're grieving, we're never going to have.
Because it's safer.
We're never going to have any children in our life.
And this is where I could cry. It's safer. It's safer to think we'll never have kids. And then have that come true. For me, it's almost like feel that now so you can feel all that pain. So if it happens, maybe it won't hurt so bad.
Yeah.
Instead of waiting for that pain. It's like almost like a sense of like control. Like, I want a sense of control. Like, I want a sense of like, okay, we're never going to have biological children. Let me think about that now and grieve that now and feel that now. So when I, if and when I get there, it won't feel so bad. And when I got there, it felt like shit. It did. And I don't know if pre-grieving it or feeling it before, I don't want to say that it's all bad. And we'll talk about that in a second. Helped me.
Yeah.
I don't
think it helped
me.
Because you could almost say grieving the potential reality that we might not be able to have kids is a good thing.
Yeah.
But you're saying you went a step further and you almost grieved something that's not even true.
I don't think I grieved the, oh, I wonder if that will happen. Oh, that would suck. I want to think about that a little bit. Like, what does my life look like without kids? I wanted to grieve it before. So, and be like, that's going to be our future. Mm. It's just safer. It's like safer for me to be like, that's going to be our future. That's going to be it. Yeah. We're not going to do that. So then when it, and if it happened, it would hopefully feel less painful. That is why I did that.
Yeah. Do you feel like you did that throughout infertility all the time?
Yes. And then it got even worse with foster care and it got even worse with adoption. You know, even though we ended up having two children come and live with us through foster care and adoption, but it just even continued. It just continued of like, I'm not going to feel anything.
When did that start? Did that start, you know, month 11 when we're struggling?
When we started doing treatment, I was 10,000 steps ahead of you going, oh, what if this doesn't work out? So I'm like, I'm just going to pretend. It's so sad. It's like, and I feel like I've heard this in process groups because it's like, I still had hope. I wouldn't have done it if I didn't have hope. And there was right. a side of me that's like, thank God for science.
Yeah.
Oh, we're here. But I think the emotional side of me was like, let's just feel like this isn't going to work so it won't hurt so bad.
Yeah. What were you afraid of?
That it happening.
You're afraid of it happening?
Yes. I was afraid that that was going
to
come true.
Oh, maybe were you saying you were afraid of how much you wanted it to happen?
Yes.
Okay.
I actually wanted it to happen so bad, but emotionally and from a grieving standpoint, I was like, but I will grieve like it's not going to happen. And I don't think that made me very grounded in the experience, you know, because yeah, I was like almost like two versions of myself. Yeah. Like, oh, okay. Yeah. We're here. Thank God for science. We're going to do this and it's happening. But Jesse, don't, because it probably won't work out. So grieve that. And that was really hard when we had our son through adoption come into our lives to feel like I was worthy enough to be a mom. And I could see someone that maybe ends their journey, ends with pregnancy, being able to turn that back on because I was like already like, oh, doomed. My life's doomed. It's over. Nothing's going to happen. And like Brene Brown says, when you turn down one emotion, you turn them all down. You can't just pick and choose which one to turn down. So when something happens that's happy or hopeful in infertility and you've turned that dial all the way down, like me talking to myself, it's really hard to turn that back on.
Yeah. There's something very real that happens when we live in the worst case scenario mindset.
Yeah.
You know, the worst case scenario mindset, it's almost like this safety measure.
Yeah.
But in doing it, we take that giant knob of emotion and just crank it down till we're so, you know, it's so low that it's like, oh, something good happens, doesn't faze me. Something bad happens, doesn't faze me. And right. you start to go like, why am I so numb right. all the time?
Right.
It's like, well, I'm living in this worst case scenario. And do you feel like that's what you were doing with grief? Is just you were always grieving as if it was the worst case scenario?
Yes. I went down a really, really low place before it was even given to me. That's what I would say. Yeah. I went to a low, 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 dark place emotionally and felt all the things and felt like all of it, like almost like being told we weren't going to have biological children before we were told we weren't going to have biological children.
Mm.
That's what I'm saying. And I think that's an unhealthy version of me.
We are so different.
We are.
Well, we're so different in this category because the things that happened to me along the way, I avoided grieving them. And I didn't, I just kind of was like, what's the next thing? Let's move on, not spend time with it. Each one of these things for you is an arrow into you that it almost triggers this, well, I'll just grieve the worst case scenario, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. So you're over here grieving, you know, the worst case scenario. Every thing that happens is an opportunity for you to jump into that. And for me, I'm ditching the grief off to the side. If I go back to Shakespeare and I say, give sorrow words, it's almost like your sorrow comes in and you're like,
I have the words.
And you're allowing it to almost, you're almost taking it too far, and I'm not taking it anywhere.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Yes. And there's probably a little bit of that back in our marriage of like, I did that because I saw you do the opposite. And I probably, there probably was a little bit in me, which we've talked about this multiple times.
Yeah.
Of like, I'm like trying to be like, isn't this sad? Catch up, buttercup. Like, we're having a hard time over here.
So if that's, you know, maybe a version of yourself that, you know, hurt you or was like a lot to deal with, you know, the idea of always grieving the worst case scenario. I also think you're a really great griever and you have this amazing ability to dive into grief. What's the healthy version of that grief?
The healthiest version of that grief is a little bit at a time. A little bit at a time.
Yeah.
And for
grieving
me...
grieving what's in front of you.
Thank you. That was great words. And I think my therapist probably saw what I was doing and I was catastrophically grieving. Maybe that could be a thing. Catastrophically grieving. And I don't mean that like, it can't feel catastrophic. I went to like, I'll just grieve the worst thing ever that could possibly happen to me ahead of time is one step at a time. And my therapist gave me the best advice that I ever received from any human. She was like, why don't you just, now this is a little different because this is after our IVF cycle failed and we weren't going to pursue any more treatment. So it's a little different. And it is hard with infertility to know when to start grieving when you're in it. Like, do I start grieving that I'm never going to have children now? Like, how do you do that? Which I'll talk about a little bit in a second. But she said, why don't you just go home and think about not breastfeeding your child for a week and come back to me? And I was like, oh, and that helped me. She also encouraged me to give my infertility a name.
Yeah, that helped with the grief.
That helped with the grief. So instead of like going so up here, like infertility, it's just this big thing where it's like, where the hell do you start with that? You know, to be like, oh, just go home and think about not being able to breastfeed. Or the next week would be not showing up to a baby shower pregnant. Why don't you go home and think about that?
Yeah.
And the next week maybe would be, why don't you go think about not giving birth? And it was really helpful for me to have my name and to think about that. And I think I carried that on in my journey when big griefs would come up. And I think that is the healthiest version of me.
Yeah.
Is to be able to channel it into these chunks.
Yeah. Small kind of chunks.
Small chunks. Small chunks. And to kind of almost get more into the details. Because I think I was just so big, existential, huge, and just lost. But I felt it. I felt it in my body. But didn't know how to like move it through my body.
I think that's helpful for me too as well.
Yeah.
Because I almost leave the giant existential crisis of struggling to get pregnant. Infertility.
Right.
I'm like, okay, I'll grieve that. But not this smaller... in my mind, smaller thing of breastfeeding or like delivering a baby or having a baby at the hospital, something like that. You know, I'll be like, well, that's, I won't grieve that, but I'll grieve this. But I do think there's problems when you try to go and just grieve the whole thing. It's almost like too big and you start to spiral out of control. Mm-hmm. Being able to grieve. I like, just grieve what's in front of you,
yeah.
You know, almost like grieve what's on your plate. You
like
know?
I wish
right now on my plate right now are these three things. And if they're sad, if they're losses, I'm going to grieve them.
Yeah. Know? And I think it's so hard to do this. I say this to all these people with the absolute grace of everything because I did this and I was them and I am them. I wish when I started my treatment, instead of thinking we're never going to have kids, I'm going to think about that now because I don't want to be in pain then, I wish I would have just grieved the fact that we had to do treatment to grow our family. That's what I wish I would have done. I wish I would have just sat there and gone, this sucks that we've tried so long. We have these diagnoses and we have to do an IUI. I wanted it to be a lot funner the way we were growing our family.
Right. Yeah.
Being a seven on the Enneagram. Like I wanted it to be a lot funner than that.
Yeah.
And I wish I would have done that. Now, there's a way like you where you can shove down it and not think about the future at all. Like that's not necessarily what I'm saying. I'm just maybe saying from a grief perspective, I wish I would have slowed my roll a little bit and just gone, I'm just going to think about that.
I think that is the best way to do it. I really do. Because for me, I'm over here going, well, yeah, we have to do treatment, but whatever, let's just get through it. And then we won't have to grieve at all. It'll be a bummer,
yes.
But we won't have to grieve.
Gosh, Doug, that is so you. I'm telling you, from being someone who could not have biological children, and that day came.
Yeah.
Sitting in our parking lot, in our apartment complex. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
And our IVF didn't work, and we had to have the conversation of what's next. That is like my moment. And I'm telling you, it was so painful. Mm-hmm. But I don't think anything I did before then helped that pain be less painful. Now, you can go like you where you don't even think. Like, I think that there's a combo of both of us here.
Yeah.
Where it's probably the most healthiest of humans. Where it's like, I'm not telling you that if you're like me, that you should never think about the future. I'm just saying from a grieving perspective. Yeah. That's it. I'm not saying that you can't think, oh, shoot, what if this doesn't work out, and think about those things? Because I think you would, I love that you said, we'll just get through it and then we don't have to grieve because it wasn't painful. It's like, well, that's not the answer either. Like, you should think a little bit about it, I think, from a grieving perspective. I just want to make that so clear, because that day came and that's when I had to start that process. And it is kind of like that was day one.
Yeah, that's so interesting.
That was day one. Like, I don't think anything I did before that prepared me for that, made it less painful, anything.
Yeah. Infertility is so unique because I'm sitting here thinking, like many griefs in life, I have all these things that maybe we all see on Instagram and things like that. Like, you know, our grief never shrinks. We just grow around all those kind of things. And everything that I think about when it comes to grief really has to do with an instant of loss. Do you know what I mean? Like, I lost this person. I lost this thing. And it's this painful, traumatic moment of loss that becomes something that we deal with, you know, throughout our lives, and we grow and we change, and, you know, the grief maybe is always there, and part of it's always with you. And we've all seen a celebrity or an actor say something that's really profound about grief, about how it stays with us forever and it changes us. All of that is true. I think there's something so unique though about infertility. What we're talking about is that it's ongoing.
Yes.
It's an ongoing grief.
It feels not finite.
That's where I feel final. Like sometimes we need more voices, because there's something in the mental health world that misses the ongoing nature of infertility.
Yeah.
That, yes, it's a grief, but it's a grief today. It's a grief tomorrow. It's a potential grief next Thursday.
Yeah.
And it's potentially a grief every month for the next 3 years. What do you do with that?
Yeah.
That's so hard. I think end up doing what either you or I did.
Yeah.
Where I go, yes, infertility is a grief and I'll process it someday, but I'm just get me through this thing. And I'm not giving sorrow any words. You know what I mean?
Right.
Or you're over here going, well, I'm just going to grieve it like it's over. And it's the worst case scenario, but that doesn't serve you very well. I just want to give everyone a break at this point in the podcast and say, I hope you give yourself so much grace, because I just you don't see a lot of people talking about grief in this way.
Yes.
In it being an ongoing thing.
Normally grief is an event.
Yes.
This happened. It's an event.
And we're not saying we're not ranking these griefs at all.
No.
I'm just saying the uniqueness of infertility not just being a one-time
that grief. Is still painful. The event or whatever that is, still painful, still 100%. Worthy to grieve.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But what do you do when that grief is just ongoing and you don't know the future? You don't know the path that you're going to be put on. How the heck does one do that? It's just really hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard. And I think too, infertility has this magical ability to blow past your boundaries, and to, you have to put yourself in positions of being triggered and in pain and grief again. Person gets pregnant. Has a miscarriage. Pregnancy is now a trigger, is now something that you have to choose. Do I want to put myself in that situation again with the possibility of having another loss? Like, it's just unique. It's so unique. And I give people all the grace. I mean, we have it in our process groups all the time of just like, how the heck do you start doing this? How do you start grieving? Do you pre-grieve? Do you not pre-grieve? Like, do you, like, what all? You're just thinking of Minority Report. But like, yeah, it's just really, 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 really hard. And I think I would say to the person that's like you, I would say it's okay for it to be painful.
Yeah.
It's okay to pause and grieve. Because it's so true. I know so many people from our groups and just being married to you. Let's just get through it so we don't have to grieve.
Right.
And I just think that that mindset might catch up to you and you might wonder, why am I still sad after that experience?
Yeah.
Or something like that. So I would just say that your grief is valid. Your grief is valid.
I mean, seriously, I know I keep saying it. Shakespeare, give sorrow, the grief that does not speak whispers or fret heart and bids it break. I mean, if you don't give sorrow words, this grief just whispers to your heart and it just bids it break. I mean, it's such a perfect picture of what's happening on the inside. So if you're like me, it's okay to enter into the pain because it's there. It's okay to notice it and allow yourself to sit with it. For me, that wouldn't be like me sitting there crying, bawling. It would be me thinking about it, writing about it, talking about it, and just giving it its space, giving it the words, giving it the words that it needs.
Yeah.
And I think for people like you, Jesse,
I was going to answer my own.
I think for people like you, I would say it's okay that this can be enough to grieve. You know,
the fact
that we literally had to go to the doctor's appointment and that it maybe wasn't a great experience, or it was, and the doctor was great, he or she was awesome, but you don't want to be there, and the medicine is expensive. That's enough. We can stop there. Let's grieve that, because who knows what next month will hold. But this is enough to grieve for now.
And for me, if I was speaking to myself and trying to grow, it is also okay to shelf it every once in a while. I think I feel a little like I am betraying my grief if I don't feel it all the time. So I think I would say to myself, grieve what's right in front of you, because if that day happens that is the worst day that you could think of, you will be there and that will be the time to get through it and to feel it. And it's okay to shelf it every once in a while and you're not betraying it. It will still be there. And I think the grief is just telling you that it mattered.
Yeah.
It mattered. And the sadness can remind you that it is a big deal. And it was a big deal. And that can follow you for a long time and feel sad for a long time, maybe forever. And that's okay. The last thing I want to say is your grief is valid wherever you're at. If you're like me, and you are like, I'm not going to be thinking about what's in front of me. I'm going to the worst case scenario. I see you. I see you. I am you. Let's get buttons or a t-shirt. Like, I see you. And it's all valid. And there's no right or wrong way to do this. If you are just like, feel like you are being swallowed by your grief, or you're just moving 1,000 miles an hour, it's okay to feel. It's okay to stop. It is okay to grieve. Infertility is grief. It's all grief. That's really what it is. And it's okay to feel that. Your feelings are valid. We are here for you. No one is judging you. You are not doing it wrong. It's okay to feel. Thank you for listening to the Infertility Feelings Podcast, a show produced by the nonprofit Uniquely Knitted. This is your place to process, cry, and laugh about infertility. We are so grateful to all of our wonderful donors who support this work. If you would like to learn more about how we serve the community and support the work of Uniquely Knitted, we encourage you to check us out at uniquelyknitted.org.